Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
Gordon Elliott today, the King of Cheltenham. 8 winners this week and a fantastic training performance overall. This is what he had to say.
Unbelievable, thanks very much. You know, the horse are flying and had a great week, so I just can't believe it. I knew it was all between Mr. Juliet and Farclas last, and everything was a good jump. And that just showed it today, like, you know, the form stood up, the Irish form, that is the best form. So thankfully, it's been unbelievable. Yeah, I can't believe it. He's grown the whole time. So listen, I said coming over, if I'd won, it'd be great. And, you know, Tuesday with no winner and a few fancy jokes bet, I really wanted to go home, which was nice. But thankfully, it's been unbelievable. It's been unbelievable now, you know, brilliant.
Yeah. It's a good job he didn't go home. Don McLean, Johnny Ward are with us. I mean, what a week for Gordon Elliott, Don. Just absolutely brilliant stuff by him.
Yeah, like, it's been an incredible week on so many different levels, Hugh. Like, obviously, the week that Gordon has had, it's just unbelievable. And it continued today. Like, 8 winners at the Cheltenham Festival. You just don't do that. Like, I know last year he had 6 and Willie Mullins had 6. This year he's at 8 and Willie's had 7. So, like, it's... yesterday took out altogether, and then to start off again today with the two of them, Bartlan and Mr. Adjudicator, went to the final flight together, and they came clear. Like, the, you know, Bartlan, yeah. Gordon Elliott, Mr. Adjudicator, Willie Mullins, and they came clear of their field. As Gordon said there, the Irish form, the form of that spring hurdle that was run at the Dublin Race Festival at Leopardstown, that was the strongest form, it turned out. And, you know, look, you said it as well, Jack Kennedy and Davy Russell being top rider at the meeting, which is brilliant because it was a little bit of a miss on his CV and now he's done that. So that's ticked off. But he's been superb all week as well. There's so many stories here. It's been a fantastic week.
It really has. And Johnny, you know, just obviously Gordon is one of many stories, as Don just mentioned, obviously for Davy Russell as well. Given everything that's happened to him in his career with the Jigginstown job, if anyone read Vincent Hogan's piece in the Irish Independent today, it's just worth a reflection on where Davy Russell has come from to get to this stage. Jack Kennedy at 18 years of age, 4 winners, 3 places from 9 rides. And Willie, he's just there every year. It has been an incredible week overall.
It has, yeah. Willie's record at the festival is quite amazing, really, the last few years. He's just constantly tallying sort of 5, 6, 7 winners and unbelievable consistency. And Gordon and Willie, at this stage in Ireland and in Cheltenham, seem to be roughly on a par. Gordon with all the Jigginstown horses, and I suppose Willie with the other owners he has, and Gordon with the other owners apart from Jigginstown, they completely dominated the festival, really. You know, Nicky Henderson had a pretty quiet time of it, and it was actually a strange kind of conclusion that we had 2 winners from Paul Nicholls. It almost felt right that Paul Nicholls had 2 winners at the end, because he said, you know, as long as I've been watching Cheltenham, Paul Nicholls has had a big role. But it was today was an interesting day, because I think there was an undercurrent of almost, if not resentment, kind of envy from the locals. A few trainers referred to it, including Colin Tizard, and I think they were very happy to win 5 of the races today. But still, what a fascinating festival it was. Kind of, I know the Gold Cup, nothing really happened in some respects. The first 2 were there throughout, but it was such a great race, and I'm absolutely banjoed actually after the 4 days. But it really does take it out of you. It's just a great place to be.
Just before we leave that, the point you brought up there about the English reaction, the British reaction to all these Irish winners, I did wonder myself, because we were sitting at home here all week watching the racing, cheering on all the Irish, and I thought, I wonder what the English crowd, and indeed everyone involved with English racing, are making as Irish winner after Irish winner comes through to the parade ring. When would they start to say, hang on a second, this is actually getting a bit too much?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Chris Cook has just put up an article in The Guardian. I was actually talking to him today, and he was asking me about how kind of betting funds horse racing in Ireland. And, you know, obviously I was saying that it's just basically bets on any race, be it in Ireland or otherwise, kind of goes into the Horse and Greyhound Fund. And basically, Chris's article is kind of saying that the British race BHA may use barriers to keep Irish raiders in check, measures planned as Irish dominate Cheltenham Festival. So that's very interesting. I actually haven't had time to read the article, but I think they are a little bit miffed, because one it's kind of fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, in the sense that it was a fairly strong victory for Ireland again. And, you know, Mickey Henderson had, what, one winner throughout the whole week. Paul Nicholls was just, you know, really was an irrelevance in the big races. And it's more so the fact that, you know, even at the sale last night, all the three big table, I think the three big sales toppers all went to Ireland from the Tavistall sale at Cheltenham last night. I think it goes down to prize money, but the British have a problem funding racing at the moment, and until they solve that...
So what barriers could he mean then? Like, what barriers can you put up to try and limit the Irish success? Is he talking about the handicap or just crucify Irish? What is he talking about?
I think it was more to do with... I'm just trying to actually read here. I don't think they're on about handicapping. I think it's more on about sort of... the BHA intends to put pressure on the turf club to run the sport on similar lines, with particular reference to the way weights are allotted and handicaps and the way their dope testing is conducted. Now, I mean, that's an incredibly loaded kind of...
That really
concept,
is very really. Loaded.
It really is. Now, there would certainly be an accusation here in Ireland and in England that, you know, the drug testing in Ireland is certainly not up to scratch, and possibly a little bit... it's not blasé. You know, there have been issues. There was a serious issue there recently with the testing system they were using being sort of rendered a bit obsolete, and there was a trainer in Leinster who was wrongly done for a false sample that was actually not false in the first place. So that's for another day, but I wish I actually had time to read that article now, because it just shows, I suppose it suggests that the British are looking at it, and I think the turf club, or whatever it's called in its new body, will definitely react to this article, because there is obviously an implication there.
It does smack Tom McLean of a little bit of sour grapes here. I mean, like, you know, as Johnny said, there's a lot of loaded elements to those suggestions or proposals, and we might get into it a little bit more next week on the show, just on kind of quieter reflection. But this trend has been coming for a while, that the Irish horse has been getting better and better. We have been taking more and more winners at the festival, and the English racing really hasn't done anything to correct their slide in recent years.
Yeah, look, I think it's... Tonight's a night of celebration here.
Yeah,
I mean, like, between Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins, and also the two of the Irish winners as well. Like, it's been some week. Look, last year we had 19. There were 19 Irish Ten winners. This year there are 17. So they're actually two fewer than last year.
Mm.
So no, last year was it was a bit of a blip. Whereas now, I mean, put two together and it becomes a trend. But look, these things are cyclical too. Like, it's not that long. And I know we said this the other night. It's not that long ago that if you had four or five Irish Trend winners in Cheltenham, it was great, or it was the norm. And like, okay, it's 1989 since there were none. Like, that's going back, but you know, we all remember that.
Yeah.
One woman, Galmoy, was the only winner for 2 years in a row, and then Galmoy got beaten by Russell in the Stairs, Ireland. There were no Irish Trend winners. So, look, it's cyclical. Obviously, the investment in Ireland is brilliant. Jigginstown House have only horses in Ireland. They don't have horses in Britain. The other big owners have horses in both, like the likes of Potences or Sullivan Bloodstock or JP, or even the Potts family. They have horses in both. But Jigginstown, obviously, that's a massive factor, that Jigginstown only have horses in Ireland. And it's brilliant. They're all Irish-trained horses, and they're all in training in Ireland and paid for in Ireland, and the money's staying in the Irish industry.
Yeah.
And to go over then and be able to compete. So it's as well as an industry, it's a sport. So to have Irish train, you know, if there's an Irish success in any sport, anywhere in the world, we celebrate it, and it's something that we should be celebrating. And yes, there were comments, but generally, I think even the British people were kind of, you know, celebrating it to a point. And then there was a point where we were kind of going, you know, you want Britain to have a winners as well. Like, you know, the competition is what it's all about. It's not about dominance of one over another.
Yeah.
It's the competition.
Yeah, Johnny. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was the same as Don in that regard, because you don't, you know, I was just thinking back there to when Ireland would have a winner, there would invariably be a tricolour flung from somewhere in the crowd, and, you know, the jockey would have it coming in. That's not really a feature much anymore, because the Ireland are just winning so many races, it would probably just get a bit boring. I've actually had time to read a small bit of the article there, and basically what is implied here is that they would like more testing of horses trained at their stable, sort of when they're out of training. Basically, the BHA would want the Irish authorities to do more drug testing when the horses are sort of not around race time, but
out of season.
Now, there's definitely an argument there that the Irish drug testing isn't good enough, and I would be loath to suggest that too much drug testing is even so much of a there's even such thing, because it is something that we should all be worried about. Chris also made the point that the British trainers were more inclined to say it was high levels of skill from the trainers and jockeys involved and enviable levels of investment, and I think that's the key. I wouldn't read too much into it.
Okay, alright. Did you want to say something?
Just to Johnny, should this even come as much of a surprise? Because to be fair to Johnny, weeks out he was telling us how one-sided this festival may become because of how strong-handed we were compared to what exactly was going on over in Britain as well.
Well, that's it. It's been well flagged.
It wasn't a huge surprise. In fact, today was surprising because Ireland did pretty badly in the handicaps, and I was surprised at that. But I mean, the investment is basically in Ireland at the moment. You know, the main owners are investing in Ireland, not in Britain, and I know that it's cyclical and all that, but I'm not sure this is going to swing dramatically in the next few years, because Michael O'Leary shows no sign of stopping, and Willie has built a massive operation there. The only kind of downside, I think, of the Cheltenham experience was that those two dominated so much from the Irish perspective. You know, you'd only Henry de Bromhead and Pat Kelly, I think, otherwise were winners. We need more of a spread for the good of the game, for the ethos of National Hunt Racing, but I suppose it's just the world we live in, that the stronger get stronger.
Okay, so Might Bite today, Don winning the Gold Cup, or so not Might Bite, Native River. You can tell where my money went. Native River winning the Gold Cup today, and it really was a really classy performance in difficult ground and a fantastic ride by Richard Johnson.
Yeah, like it was a strange race. As Johnny said, nothing really happened in it. As such, you can pair it back to its simplest form, and basically Native River and Might Bite set off together in front, Native River on the rail, Might Bite outside him. They jumped away, they travelled away, they came down the hill. Jack Adam closed a little bit. Road to Respect, I thought, ran a cracker on ground that would have been too soft for him. Closed a little bit, looked like they were going to get involved. But then those two just came away again, and it looked like Might Bite might get Native River, but that's Native River's style. He's a dour, hardy, tough nut who needs a lot of riding, and Richard Johnson's the perfect partner for him in that regard. And they jumped the last, and Might Bite just couldn't get past him, and Native River just guts it up the whole way to the line. Like Nicky Henderson was saying afterwards, that the ground from the final fence to the winning line, that was the worst part of the track, and that's where Might Bite had to go and catch Native River. But look, it was brilliant for Richard Johnson. It looks like trouble was his last Gold Cup winner, I think. And that's got, I think he said 18 years. I haven't double checked that, but 18 years, take Richard Johnson's word for it, but brilliant for him.
Yeah.
And Colin Tizard, like, you have to, nobody begrudge Colin Tizard a Gold Cup. Like, you know, he's just such a good fella. And you love to see people like that having success. But, he finished second in the Gold Cup last year. And then he comes on, and the ground obviously came in his favour. I'd say, sure, we'll never know, but if the ground had been a wee bit better, maybe Might Bite would have had his measure, and maybe Road to Respect would have got into it as well. But that's irrelevant. He's a Gold Cup winner, and it was a really, really tough performance worthy of a Gold Cup victory.
Well, Jessica Harrington had some interesting stuff to say afterwards, Johnny, about that ground. She said it was appalling ground. She said it like a couple of times, that the ground was appalling and that our Duke just couldn't jump out of appalling ground. She clearly wasn't happy. But what more could the Cheltenham course staff do to get the ground any better? Is that fair criticism?
Yeah, no ground expert, but they had a load of snow last week, and then obviously they got rid of the snow. Then they got a deluge of rain at the weekend, and Jamie Codd said last night, he did say to me after I was on the radio, that the ground would be a lot worse today than it was yesterday. It kind of got tacky and very, I suppose, very much suction based, and she wouldn't have been impressed with the last race either, because her runner in that Don't Touch It literally didn't raise a gallop on the ground either. Now, maybe that was a problem for our Duke. I don't know. I mean, Cheltenham virtually never have this problem, but you could tell he wasn't travelling from a long way out. If you looked at some of the overheads of it, it did look quite horrible in places, but I don't know. I mean, I'm no ground expert. I'd have a lot of sympathy for Cheltenham, and they wouldn't have expected this to happen, and I'm sure they worked their asses off to get the best ground they could. But it was a bit freakish. Some of the results didn't really add up. Some horses you think would handle it didn't, and vice versa.
Yeah, okay. And Charles in Double 12, by the way, is calling you out on your criticism of old Dickie Johnson yesterday, saying he was overrated and would cost Native River the Gold Cup. Johnny, he didn't.
he gave him a smashing ride. Yeah. I wouldn't say he's... I think Richard Johnson, if you were riding in Ireland, he'd probably be, you know, he might be a top five jockey. I mean, the standard of jockeys in Ireland is way higher than in Britain. But Richard Johnson is an absolute gentleman, and he really suits his horse. And any worry I had that he would go too quick was completely obsolete. He gave it an absolute peach ride, and he didn't go for home too early. Even when Mike Boy was travelling all over him, he saved a bit, and it was an absolute peach. And I'm really delighted for him to win a World Cup.
Okay, so Don, just I suppose another couple of standout points. Apple Shakira, she just was a bit dead today, and it was kind of apparent early on in the triumph that she just wasn't going to get up at all. And Farclas, as you said, you know, that spring juvenile form just transferred himself, and Mr. Adjudicator went on. But it wasn't a great week for JP McManus overall. And I'm sure he'd be the first to admit that. Obviously, the winner at the end of the Prezi end, but Apple Shakira would have been a big disappointment for a lot of people.
Yeah, she would have been, and she was really well back. Well, Jesse had the champion hurdle winner on Tuesday, seems like weeks ago, doesn't it?
But of course, yeah, Bouverdere. Sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, look, Apple Shakira, she was one of the bankers of the meeting, I suppose, and she was always short, but she was even short. Like, she got even stronger in the market this morning, so there was lots of confidence behind her. I only saw the race live. I didn't get a chance to watch the race again. So, but I remember in watching it live, I was thinking she was travelling a bit keenly early on, that maybe she was doing a wee bit more than Barry Geraghty wanted her to do. And then when they came down the hill and they turned it on, she just couldn't pick up with them. And maybe she just expended too much energy through the early stages of the race. Or maybe it was the group. But she's got form on soft ground as well. So I'm not sure that it would have been the ground for her, but no, I just think there were two better horses that feed her on the day. Farclas and Mr. Adjudicator, they were the strongest horses in the race. They were the strongest in the finish. They came away from the rest of the field, and like both very good juvenile hurdlers. And like, you know, Farclas proved better on the day. He turned around the spring juvenile form of Mr. Adjudicator. They finished in the opposite order at Leopardstown, but I'd say two very good juveniles here.
Okay, and just to leave it on Mohaya then in the county hurdle, Johnny, an incredible story, not incredible in terms of just the congratulations that was given as well to winning jockey in the end. And the point being made as well that, you know, women jockeys just need to be given more chances. They are every bit as good as the men. You look at Katie Walsh this week, had the win. You look at Lizzie Kelly obviously as well, and what Brownie Foss has been managing to do for the guts of the season so far. You know, you'd have to say that point is well stacked up by the results that the women have been getting when they've been given the top horses.
Yeah, Dan Skelton said after the race, you know, I don't want to talk about female jockeys, I just want to talk about jockeys and, you know, remove this kind of... In fairness, I can see where he's coming from there, but there is a point to be made here. A female jockey won one in every seven races at the festival. Now, I'm not going into the stats on this, but I can safely say the expected return from the jockeys was far less than four races of the females. So I'd say if you did the law of averages, they might have had one or two winners, and they're competing in one of the most dangerous sports in the world, if not the most dangerous. And they're doing so much for, I think, women in sport. And you know what Nina Carberry and all these girls did down the years. And Bryony Frost actually didn't have a winner, which was quite surprising because she's been so good in Britain today, this year rather. But I think this is absolutely magnificent for the sport of racing, and I think it really sells it. You know, there's a lot of seediness to racing in terms of the gambling element of it, but you know, racing roughly in terms of staff is pretty much 50-50, male and female, and we should really promote that. And also, in an age when everyone is getting that bit, you know, basically humans are getting bigger and taller, we are going to be more reliant, unless we start increasing weights, we're going to be more reliant on one of two things. Basically, people imported from other countries like they're doing in the States with all the Latin Americans, or more female jockeys.
Yeah, well said. Fantastic. Look, you're both exhausted. I imagine it's been a long week for the both of you over there. I've said it every night, but go and have a well-earned pint. Thank you so much, Don McLean and Johnny Ward. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Do it. This is...